hello, bros. It's time for that hero stuff, bro! That hero stuff! Oh! How are you doing on the day of today? This is James Hall, and welcome to Restoring Heroes, Real Biblical Manhood in a Counterfeit World, HeroStuffBro.com! I got all types of problems. Look, I got a whole lot to say to you in a little bit of time, and I have a guest with me today. I have Alec Griffiths. I'm going to get that name right. I don't know what's wrong with me. Say hi to the people, Alec.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thank you so much for having me.
See, he's having a good time. We're having a good time. Now, this is kind of different because Alec, I'm going to tell you about a little story of how I met Alec. It's on Twitter, weirdly enough. I just started Twitter on being on Twitter not too long ago, and I was in this Spaces thing, which is a Twitter's version of what is that thing called? It's some new thing that they do on I forgot what it's called. I don't know what's going on with me. Anyway, it's basically you talk, it's like a podcast, but you don't record it. There's a whole lot of guys talking and things like that. And we got in contact through those things, and I follow him on Twitter and things like that. But Alec, I would like for you to tell a little bit about your story, like what got you started? Because his Twitter handle is Father Reforged, right?
That's right. Fathers Reforged.
Fathers Reforged.
Yeah.
So what got you started? Right. Tell me a little bit about your story.
Okay. So I've not been on Twitter that long, actually. It's been quite a roller coaster, quite fast paced. But I didn't have what you would call a brotherhood or anything like that growing up, and I didn't connect with any other men, really, no one in my family either.
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, but I always had this sort of strong sense of what fatherhood should be and what manhood should be deep down inside me somewhere, and pieces of that would come out now and again, but ultimately, I ended up like, what, maybe 95% of other men, other young men that have, the modern day man, loads of video games, loads of junk food, with loads of apathy, loads of lack of responsibility, very much a selfish kind of man, blaming everyone else, never worked out in my life, all those sorts of things. And I just sort of stumbled. I stumbled upon Twitter. I stumbled on a couple of guys on Twitter, and I'm sure you know who they are. But they kind of awoke something within me.
Uh-huh.
And it was almost like this switch flipped, and all of a sudden, everything that was deep down inside me about fatherhood and manhood that I kind of kept to myself because I never. I never made that effort to establish a brotherhood or find other men. Kind of just came out, and I found this outlet through Twitter. And I thought, I threw caution to the wind and just went the whole hog, and just thought, well, I'm just going to post whatever I want because I don't feel like I can in my current life because I don't have anyone that can kind of resonate on that level with me.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just people who couldn't resonate with me, but I know it's not a popular opinion at the moment. So I know, for instance, if I tried to reach out to people in work and such like that, it would cause a lot of friction.
Right. Well,
and then I just, I thought, well, this is a great outlet. And then I realized that as soon as you start shouting your message loud enough, people will listen and people will hear and people will find you. The right type of people will find you. And they did. And I've connected with so many other fathers now through Twitter. It's been unbelievable, including yourself.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. We go just dive right in because I love your your enthusiasm. There's a whole lot of things we're going to talk about, but we're going to take it chunk by chunk. Okay, so why do you think that society is so, so against male leadership and patriarchy? Like, what, why do you think? I have my opinion, but I want to know yours.
Sure. Because it is what makes families strong. It is what makes society strong. Men are strong. Men are supposed to be strong. And we make everything we associate ourselves with stronger. We make other men stronger when we form a brotherhood. We make the family stronger when we're present and when we're intentional. And strong family units are much harder to control. And that's what it ultimately boils down to.
You preaching.
Yeah. You know, I very much believe, you know, the forces that be, you know, it's very much a strategy of divide and conquer. Break up the family unit, sever the ties between husband and wife, parents and children, brother and brother, sever those ties. And everyone's in their own little pocket, and they're much easier to manipulate and mold and curate into whatever you want it to be. So, but when the father is actually involved and leads his family effectively and compassionately and is in service to his family and in service to other men, then that drives a big wedge into the machine.
Yeah, it seems like the world is okay with the, I think the servant leadership, and I'm using that term loosely because I don't agree with it the way it's been presented. So servant leadership as it presented is you find out whatever your wife wants and your kid wants, and you give them whatever they want. So if your wife, it's basically a Christian version of happy wife, happy life, basically, right?
Yeah.
So whatever, you're subservient, but they're okay with that. Because that just makes effeminate men, right? That makes demasculate.
Yeah, that keeps men weak.
Yes, emasculated men, and keeps the woman on top where they want her to be, kind of in what we're gonna talk about later. But keeps the woman empowered and keeps the man subdued and pacified, right? But that's not how God created it to be. Like, God created us to, our service is leading. That's how we serve, is by taking charge and being decisive and with compassion. Not, those things are not opposed. You can be a leader and have compassion at the same time. Jesus Christ did it. You could be a leader and be kind at the same time. Jesus did it. Like, this is not, they're not diametrically opposed, those two ideals, right? So
Strong leaders are in service to those they lead, not in servitude to those they lead.
Come on now. Exactly. Strong leaders are in service. Their leadership is the reason why they're there.
Yeah.
If they were not leaders, there would be no point of them being there. Right? And that's the beautiful thing about how God designed everything, how God put things together. And I love how strongly you feel about fatherhood and being a husband and things like that. What are some ways that you see the world pacifying males, male leadership, masculinity, the patriarchy? What are some pacifying techniques that you see in this world?
Oh man, there's so many. But to point a couple out, I think one of the biggest right now is probably porn.
Mm.
You know? It's glorified, but not, and I think potentially equally as bad. It's not just glorified, but it's normalized.
Yes.
You know, it's just seen as part of society nowadays. You know, it's just seen as something every boy does.
Yep.
You know, and then, and that just leads to so much damage, you know, and I was exposed to porn as a teenager. You know, I have not watched porn for a very, very, very long time.
God bless.
Not since I've been married.
Amen.
You know, but my attitude after, so my attitude when I, you know, in my early 20s and up until quite recently was sort of, well, you know, that normalization attitude. I didn't watch it, I didn't indulge in it, but I just thought, well, it's still normal, single guys do it, you know, it's just part of society. But I didn't realize immediately how much damage that watching porn in my teenage years did to me going forward.
Right.
You know, it completely warped my attitude towards sex, towards my wife. It made me a weaker man, even though I wasn't watching it anymore.
Mm.
Because I never acknowledged the damage that it could do, I went through the early years of my marriage in the my early 20s, mid-20s, perpetuating this damage in other aspects of my life that I never even realized. You know, it made me apathetic. It made me very needy. You know, I chased the physical side to love and felt if I wasn't getting a lot of physical love, I was unattractive. It made me feel weak. You know,
yeah,
it put my wife in an unfair position of power. You know, and not that she intentionally adopted that role, but because I intentionally adopted the role of weaker, she had to fill the void.
Yes, and the women will do that. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and so I think porn is one of the bigger ones. You know. And then we've got just generally then a culture that promotes binge drinking.
Hold on. No. We can't skip over porn. That porn one,
okay.
I think it is important because it does what is Doug Wilson calls it makes you a cuck, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, you're watching another man pleasure himself with the woman that you can't have and you won't have. Is digital computer stuff. One of my friends when I growing up, it was like you're falling in love and pleasuring yourself over pixelated computers, computer programming things, right? None of it's real. It's all simulated. Even the noises, even the sounds, even all that, right? None of it's real. No one's really enjoying themselves except the evil patriarchy, that dude, but it's all counterfeit, and because of that it gives weak men or men in general, because it zaps their power, right? It sucks the power out, so it gives them a false sense of being strong. Right, because we have things. It's so normalized that in certain movies we don't. It's a porn stash, and everybody's laughing. Like no Nut November is a thing, right?
Yeah,
which it shouldn't be for a married person. Like it should.
Uh-huh.
I'm married. I don't have to do that. Like the whole semen retention guys and all that. Like no, when you're married, you don't do that. You continue to program your wife. You continue to make her you. you give her a little your little yous all the time. Like every day of the month. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
I only stop for a week. No, right? But it's been so normalized that those challenges are coming out as this is how you become a man. You restrain yourself from busting and all these other crude things they talk about. But it becomes so normalized that it's not doing it. It's not doing it and refraining from it as a sense of for a month or for is a sense of accomplishment.
Exactly. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's crazy behind being normalized. Keep it going. Sorry, bro.
And I think that's a really an amazing point to make, is that every form of modern media you see, and there's a young boy, you know, he has that porn stash, or even worse yet, he's trying to get into his father's porn stash.
Yes.
Or he stumbles across his father's porn stash.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Yep. And then
that is.
I'm sorry about that.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I said then it gets as bad as how Dr. Seuss is canceled, right? Because he had a Chinese guy on his thing. But the WAP, the WAP song by two strippers, get Song of the Year, and they're doing sexual acts on the Grammy stage. Now, I stopped watching the Grammys. I stopped watching halftime shows at Super Bowl because the last one I saw, Janet Jackson's breast was exposed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, American football. Like, it was, that's the last time I was like, I'm done. I'm not watching those anymore. And especially when I started getting, I had kids and stuff. I have kids now. I was like, I'm not watching that with my children. We change the channel every time because it is nothing but vile. People don't understand how pornographic the things that we I saw a bra commercial. But if women wear bras, why do they need to see other women in the bra? Like, now lingerie commercials are a thing now. And it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not at night. It's in the middle of the day. But what it does is, it's like you said before, it's it pacifies men to the point where they're no longer, it forces them to be weak to the point where they have no more inhibition to go forth and conquer. See, our sex drives our sex drives are a good thing from the Lord, right? It's the thing that makes us go ahead and pursue our wives and buy flowers and all those things that we know we have to do to set up the romantic scene because we want the draws. it sets us up for the aggression that we need to keep moving forward. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But
men need to conquer.
Yes.
Men need challenge. You know, we thrive on challenge. And like you said, when you're watching porn and you get that artificial sense of completion, basically, you get that artificial sense of having completed your biological urge.
Right.
You know, you've got that artificial sense of completing your challenge of conquering.
Yeah.
But it's all fake.
Yeah. There's no,
know it. Deep down, you know it.
That's the point.
And so it just compounds and compounds and compounds. And you do it more to feel temporarily better, like you've accomplished something. And then you get that rush of dopamine. And of course, that rush of dopamine then dulls you down again.
Yes.
Because you feel, and that, you know, it's your reward for conquering something, wherein traditionally you put a lot of effort into conquering your challenge, and then your reward would be dopamine, and you feel great, and that'd be great. But now it's just, okay, I'm going to watch porn for like 10, 20 minutes, get my hit of dopamine, and not really complete I'm not really conquering anything, but my mind is tricked for 5 to 10 minutes, and then I am. And then I'm going to feel awful afterwards.
Yes.
Because I know I haven't.
Yes. Yes. It never, temptation is never, the temptation never keeps its promise. It never fulfills the thing that is set out, that you set out to do with it, what it promised, what it advertised. It never keeps a promise. Never. And you're about to go into the more of, that's mental health and physical health, right? Pornography and things like that. You're about to say something about junk foods and drinking and smoking and things like that?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a wider pervasive culture then as well that does to a degree affect women as well. But I think certainly amongst men, you know, binge drinking is very much encouraged. And again, you see it all the time on media, you know? Just, you know, take your typical American college portrayed in the media, you know? It's drinking all the time, you know? And even myself growing up, I've never really been a big drinker at all. My father was an alcoholic, so it kind of, steered me off that entirely.
Right. I don't drink because of that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been there in the thick of it. And, you know, I've had the looks. You know, I've had the tongue-in-cheek jests that are sort of laced with insult about why don't you drink and why aren't you drinking and how can you have fun if you don't drink, you know, that sort of thing. So, but obviously then it's the same thing. We pour poison into our bodies in excessive amounts.
Uh-huh.
And it makes us do stupid things. It keeps us weak. It keeps us dulled, you know, because the alcohol dulls our inhibition. It keeps us dulled. You know, and then we're saying this is fun. This is the pinnacle of life is going out on the weekend and drinking excessive amounts. And then we just, all we do then is just work for the weekend, and we just drink copious amounts of poison every weekend.
Yeah,
and you know, and dull our senses.
And you said something that's to sit out. It numbs. It tries to numb the mistakes that you made, right? It's trying to cover up. You use those things, even porn, all those things, to cover up the effects of the bad choices that you made, right? Yeah. That's the whole point of it. The whole point of is you want to drink until you forget. You think that's the best time of your life until you're sitting next to, laying next to someone that you didn't plan on laying next to that day, or that night, or that morning, and things like that. And you drink the next week just to forget about it, or you forget about the bad choices you're making in your life. Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Then you don't chase self improvement. You don't chase that challenge that drives men forward. You don't seek to conquer yourself and your problems facing you, because ultimately you don't need to if you just keep drinking every weekend, because you'll just forget. And I think one of the third major thing that men face in pacifying us is this whole culture of glorifying weakness at the moment. And that, where's the incentive? You know, where's the incentive for guys to be great? Where's the incentive for guys to be strong leaders? Because they're demonized at the moment.
You're right. And it's the rise of the beta. Even in the movies, the guys who are like this new Eternals movie, I'm never gonna watch ever. But the super powered dudes, like, he wasn't even all the way in shape. You're like, you know what I mean? Like, superheroes were supposed to be like, cut at least, right? At least got some.
Yep.
It's like they weren't even all the way in shape. He was just a random dude. Like, it kills me where it's the rise of the beta. And what I mean by that is, who's getting the girl now in the movies? Is that the one that goes and conquers? It's the one that's been pining over her the whole time, and eventually.
Yeah.
She realizes that he's a good guy, and then she dates him. Like, it's so weird. It's super weird to me. Like, it's just so strange. Like John Wick. The difference between John Wick, if you ever saw that movie, and the Nobody guy, if you saw that movie, you see the previews to that. It's the same movie.
Yeah.
But John Wick looked like, okay, he could do something. And that Nobody dude, it looks, he was doing, he looked good doing it. But the persona is a beta persona, right? It's kind of,
sure.
It's kind of off the beaten path of what you'll see as a hero, villain, or anti-hero type thing. You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely. And I think that culture, is perfused throughout the media, and I think that just sort of targets young boys. You know, we're talking superhero movies, we're talking action movies, we know who they're targeting.
Young boys,
teenagers, young men, you know, and they're just being bombarded with that sort of, like you said, that beta male is great, that's the desirable male to be. You know, that's how you're going to win at life, rather than, you know, this alpha masculine man who leads and is in shape and is aggressive when it's required.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That does what needs to be done, but is still remains compassionate, still remains strong, still remains stoic.
Yes. Yes, who says it? Michael Foster. He said it one time. I heard it in one of his sermons. The way to stop a dangerous man is with a dangerous man. Like, that's how you stop a dangerous dude. If you want to stop somebody dangerous, put somebody dangerous in front of him. You're not going to stop. You can't stop a hot knife with butter. Like, it's just not going to work. The butter's going to lose all the time. So, with this, do you feel that this push for masculine weakness or glorified weakness has a lot to do with the other push for feminism or empowering women and putting them on a pedestal. For example, so you have the rise of the beta, right? But now, and also you have the rise of the super strong 120-pound superhero woman going against a 500-pound ogre as she's carrying a 200-pound sword. You feel what I'm saying?
I know. Yeah, I know exactly.
And
what
I know
you're saying.
I know people say, well, superheroes are supposed to bend reality, but that's not the point. The point is it's doing something to the psyche, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. My wife and I have talked about this at length, you know, constantly criticizing superheroes like Black Widow.
Yeah.
You know, and her frame is tiny. You know, there is no way she is kicking anyone.
Not even a little bit.
No. But yeah, I completely think that they are both both connected. It's cyclical, you know? It's just destroy man and raise the woman to take his place. But of course, well, the remove masculinity from men and make women more masculine. That's what I think it is. You know? And that's and to tie that back into the media, that's what, and that strong, that push for strong women, you know, and Black Widow is perceived as a strong woman. What all these strong women they perceive in the, they portray in the media right now, women that have adopted traditionally masculine traits, you know, strength and power, leadership, aggression, violence. You know, they say essentially they're saying a woman isn't a strong woman unless she's killing people. Where is the portrayal for strong women that are mothers and wives that serve their family and raise their kids and, you know, grow children inside their wombs, which is an unbelievable act.
Yeah, you can't have
you know
that.
How is yeah exactly you know where is the strong feminine woman? No, that's not there because that's not what they want. Masculine women are weak women, just like feminine men are weak men.
Yes. And you know, they want to portray that, they want to flip the order and cause chaos, and that's what's been happening.
Exactly.
That's why you have teenagers talking about I am thee and them and they or demon self and demon and I'm a demon self and them. Like you dim?
Yeah.
You was a demon? What is going on? But that's why, because when you flip the order of how things are created and what's created. And that's what I believe, how things were created. You flip the order, you cause nothing but chaos. Nothing but chaos. Where a woman...
I mean...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, regardless of anyone's belief system, you can see the chaos happening right now.
Yes.
Because everything's been flipped. You could look at it from any angle you want, and it is just chaos.
Yes. It is chaos, and it's brought because what you said before. The men are pacified into weakness. Therefore, the feminist movement can do whatever because they convince, even though they're being used by, because there's two types of patriarchies, I believe. There's a good patriarchy, a righteous one, the kingdom of God, kingdom of light, and there's an evil patriarchy, right? The kingdom of darkness. They're being used by the evil patriarchy because whatever they have to pass still has to go through men, CEOs of companies, a board of directors that's probably mostly men. Whatever you pass, whatever Nike passes, whatever rainbow stuff that Fruit Loops do, whatever, all the stuff they do, they still have to pass it through
exactly
a group of men.
Exactly. And I can't fathom how people can't think, you know, when they're trying to push all these agendas and they're getting through, how it's not only because a group of evil men have allowed them to get it through. You know, if they really wanted to stop them, they could. They could crush them.
Yes.
You know, they've not. You know, we've seen this. They can censor anything they want.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
It's
like
only reason this is such a big deal is because they've allowed it to become a big deal. It's because that's what they want you to do.
Yes, and that's the same. I say the same thing about with the kids. When I used to teach at an elementary school. A primary school. I used to teach there, and I used to tell these kids, it's like the rap industry that's ran by dudes in suits. they don't, the people that own the rap industry don't look like the rappers. There's a reason why they want that image pushed on you. There's a reason for it. And it's the same thing with the super strong, empowered, masculine woman and the super effeminate man. Like, there's a reason why the powers or the New World Order wants that pushed on people. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's a reason why. Because what you said before, and it sticks out so strong, when you get the man out the way, you can destroy the household. When you destroy the nuclear family, you take the power out of society to change.
Exactly. And that is ultimately the three-pronged approach. We'll hyper-feminize the man, hyper-masculize the woman, and then we'll throw they, them, ze, zer at the children, and we're done.
Yes. So going back to the evil feedback loop thing that happens, you said because of the man not filling in where they need to get in, the woman has to fill in, and that leaves a gap open. And one thing that it leaves open is the children. So what you do is send the children to government schools to take over, because now the woman has to work and go in the house because the man feels, the man is so effeminate that he feels that he needs to be supported by his wife too. Instead of him being a provider, protector, and priest of his home, he has to be, you know, by his wife. His wife has to work too to, you know, make sure he has his video games and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you send the kids to government schools. And that's a big mistake. And I know you're a homeschool dad, like I'm a homeschool dad. I have my opinion, but what is your opinion about government schools?
Oh boy. It's very much like you just said, then the children are forced into these government institutions, but the government is there under the guise of friendship, going, "Oh, I know you have to work. Don't worry, we'll look after your kids. We'll raise your kids. We'll educate your kids for you. You know, because we're so beneficial. We're so good to you.
Yes,
go out and work. Don't worry, we've got this." And it just reminds me of, and I've never even really seen the film, but it reminds me of the Child Snatcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh yeah.
You know when he's going around in the candy truck and he's trying to coax the kids out?
Yes, I do remember that.
So he can lock them up.
That was a creepy, some parts of that movie was creepy.
Yeah, they were. But that's kind of what it reminds me of, you know, and it's just one of those things where they're gonna teach them what they wanna teach them. It's a mass production system to make the next load of worker bees.
Yes, or the next professors in the college to make the next set of worker bees.
Yeah, exactly, and it just doesn't sit right, you know. And I think certainly with the whole COVID play and the whole transgender movement right now, they've played their hand quite a lot. I can't talk for the U.S. schools because I'm not entirely sure, but in the UK, I know there's curriculums coming out that are going to be teaching sex education, including transgenderism.
Oh yeah, that's already happened in California and stuff like that.
To very young children, you know, ages 5 and 6.
Yep.
You know, and they're going to be teaching them about this. There's no mention of love, commitment, marriage in this sex education curriculum. No, you know, nothing about that. It's more masturbation, transgenderism, all the different alphabets. And one of the key points there as well is they'll no longer require parental permission to teach it.
Come on now. And that's what they want.
You know? Exactly. And they tie, and again, like I said, the COVID-19 vaccine as well, certain age groups in school can override parental permission. So if the parents say no and your 12-year-old says yes, well, your 12-year-old's getting the jab.
Never heard of that. And you that's can think, crazy.
You can think that's good. You can think that's bad about the COVID vaccine. But the point remains.
The vaccine is horrible.
That there's this. Yeah. And that's my opinion too. But whether you think it's good or bad is irrelevant, because the fact remains the school is there trying to erode your parental rights.
Yes.
You know, that is the premise. You know, the school is there trying to erode your parental rights, and they've become a lot more open about it recently. And I think that's the big problem with public schools right now. You know, I can't comment what they were like 20, 30 years ago, but right now I know they are there trying to erode your rights, trying to drive a wedge between you and your kids.
Yes, yes. And I totally agree. And it's when you, there's a scripture that says when you want to take over the house, basically I'm paraphrasing, you got to bind up the strong man first. So you got to, if you want to spoil his goods, you got to bind a strong man and then take his goods. What they're doing is binding the strong man. They're binding the man so they can take his wife and they can take the children. Because once you take those properties out of the nuclear family, it no longer has power. And how you do it to the next generation is you get them young. You have to teach them this stuff at a very young age. Now you have transgender kids, and now you have cuties on Netflix and all these other things that's going on to hypersexualize children, right? You have all these things. And then what they do is grow up and they go straight into the industry that we were talking about earlier. They go straight into the porn industry and they do that stuff. And it's a feedback loop. It's a cycle. It's a cyclical. Mm-hmm. And it feeds off each other. So you emasculate, effeminize, masculate women, defeminize them, whatever that word is, and then you over-sexualize and confuse the children so they can grow up how you want the adults to be. So the next generation, it will not be so hard. You don't have to advertise as much because these things are now normal. Now.
Yeah, and if you do it well enough, you know, it's only one or two generations before your standard family unit's gone.
Yes.
You know, and the strength that the family traditionally provides is no longer there.
Yes. But we have a plan. we have some men that are going to stand up and fight against. I'm starting with my family. I'm not sure where you're starting, Alec. Where are you starting with?
Yeah, that's where, you know, that's where every man needs to start. You know, that is where every man needs to start. We need to get our homes in order first, and then we start to breach out. You know, we start to expand the perimeter bit by bit. Reach out to other men, you know, other men in your community, your family members, your brothers, your uncles, your own fathers.
Yes.
You know, because there is a generation before us that have been afflicted by the same demons,
same nonsense. You're right. What are some ways that men could step up in their homes? Because first, I heard somebody say to me before, if you want to get rid of tyrants in your heart first, in you first, then you can handle everything else. So what are some ways that men can get rid of the effeminate in them?
Wow. Okay. Well, I think a big one is, and more than people put credit to, is working out, you know? Getting in shape, being healthy, building muscle, you know, because that builds confidence, you know, that builds strength, that builds power. It does in a not just in the physical sense, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually as well. You feel strong, you know, you are bigger, you are reaching your physical potential. And I've been living by this mantra, this statement. And I say it to myself every day, sometimes multiple times a day, because, you know, it's a long journey. It's a process. And sometimes I feel myself relapsing to certain muscle memory from, you know, decades of neglect and failure as a man.
Yeah, I can see that.
That is to be a man is to bear responsibility of all things.
Mm.
So many people would deem that to be a cruel, unfair statement, but it's not. It is empowering, because you know, everything that's happened, it's your fault, and you have to take credit for that, because you are the man, and you are the leader.
Yes.
If something goes wrong in the unit you are leading, that is your fault.
Yeah.
But guess what? You also have the power to change it. It doesn't have to be that way. The power is with you. And as every time I say that to myself, I realize I actually have the power to change that. Is my wife nagging me to do something? You know, is she hypercritical of me? Well, that's because I failed to step up and address my responsibilities to the house, my responsibilities to her, my responsibilities to my kids, and the responsibilities to myself. You know, are my kids playing up? Are they acting up? Well, why is that? Are they hungry? Are they bored? Have I not given them enough attention? Are they tired? Well, guess what? All those things are in my control as well. I should be giving them more attention. You know, I should have made, you know, I should have communicated to them. I should have made sure they went to bed earlier the night before. You know, though, all those things to change are within my power.
Yes.
And I think that is something all men need to address and admit. And it's a process for all men. You know, you have to find your purpose. And that is a journey, your mission. That is a journey all men must go on. And it's different for every man.
It says...
And no one can tell you what it is.
And this is a book I've been reading called Future Men by Douglas Wilson. And it says, true masculinity accepts responsibility, period. While false masculinity tries to accept responsibility only... for successes.
That's it. You know, you can't be playing the blame game, is what, you know, a lot of people call it. You can't say, oh, well, I snapped because my wife's nagging, or I snapped because my kids are hard work, or I didn't get that promotion in work because it was someone else's fault. You know, well, no. Nothing's going to change if you're expecting it, you know, if it's everyone else's fault. If you can admit to yourself that it's your fault, You can admit that you have the power. And a big thing for me was not just admitting that for the power, it was admitting that for the permission to take control, the permission to change my life and the life of my family.
Yes.
Men need to find the permission, because we live in this world where men are not permitted to do anything masculine.
And what you're saying is that, and what I say to the heroes all the time is like, this is what you've been created for. You've been created to lead. And because of that, the creator did not leave you without the giftings and the power to do just that. Mm-hmm. If you weren't created to lead, you wouldn't be here. You have your wife, you have your children, because God said that you need to lead those kids. You need to lead your wife. That's why she said yes to your foolish self. Like, that's why she said yes to you, because yeah. God, he put it in his sovereignty. He put her in your life, and now he's giving you the power to lead. Just step into it. God makes straight paths with crooked sticks. Sometimes you just have to make a decision, and it might be the wrong one, it might be the right one, but making a decision is masculine. Go ahead and doing the thing is better than thinking about doing the thing and not really doing anything. Like, and I love what you say, take this personal responsibility for the things that you can control. You can control your kids acting fool. Now, that doesn't mean you're to blame for their foolish actions all the time. Sometimes it's just you're just taking the reins and what did I call it? A classroom management style, curtailing some of that by what you say and putting them to bed early, giving them more attention, da da da, all those things.
Exactly.
We have responsibility for things, but we don't have to. We don't have the blame for all of it. But it's all under our umbrella to handle. You know what I mean? We don't. Exactly. We're not blame. Our wives can sin, and they can do things wrong, and they're not perfect angels and that stuff like that. So when they choose just to do what they want to do, you're not to blame for that, but you are. It is under your umbrella to figure out what's going on, like, and not let it just slide.
Exactly. It's on you to rectify, to course correct. It's on you to solve what's going on. You know, you may not be directly responsible for this exact thing that's happened. You know, you can't say that you are responsible for the bad day your wife had when she, you know, someone was aggressive to her when she was out. That's not your fault, but it is then your responsibility to course correct.
Yes.
Where if your, say your wife was in a bad mood then when she came home and she was snappy with you or snappy with the kids, you know, it's on you then to rectify that problem.
Yes.
Because now it is your responsibility to do so.
Yep.
You are the leader.
So after we ourselves, and we're talking about now we went from ourselves to even at home, how can we as a building good, strong family units. I like calling them terrorist little groups against the different parts of society. So our family should be so good that LGBTQRS people will look at our family and be like, man, I'm living a lie. That's how awesome your wife should feel. That's how awesome your kids should be. It should be like, man, they look at our family and like laughing and having a good time at a restaurant somewhere and be like, I have been living a lie this whole time. Someone who's pretending to be a man but is really a woman should see us being a man and be like, man, I'm living a lie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do you feel that we can take what we're doing at the house to push into society?
Well, I think the first step is doing exactly that, and that is parading it around, basically. You know, we should be vocal about how happy we are, you know? And we shouldn't take the bait they place in front of us, you know? The transgender movement, the hyper-feminized men movement.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, I'm not going to get worked up over that. Okay, I'm going to take proactive steps to solve it, but I'm not going to be a victim of their movements. We're going to live, you know, me and my family, we're going to live our lives. We're going to do it all right. And we're going to go out and we're going to show everyone how happy we are because we're just that fulfilled in our lives.
Mm.
And I think one of the other things for men in particular is finding and forming a brotherhood.
Yes.
Because we need to, and then we need to reach out to other men and help them and save them, you know? Mm-hmm. It is, each man saved is another shield to the wall. And I say that all the time, you know?
That's because then he's going to go home. I like that.
Yeah, and then he's going to go home and he's going to work on his family. And then we're going to build another strong family unit. And then he's going to reach out to another man. And it's just going to, that's how we're going to do it. But we need to get our homes in order first. We can't go out preaching to some guys as how we should live if we're not living it. You know, we can't go out and say you should do X, Y, and Z for a fulfilled family, you know, for a content family, for a happy family, if we're not doing it ourselves and our family are miserable.
You're right.
So, but I think, yeah, you know, parade your happiness around, you know, not in your face, but just live your life. You know, don't get caught up in almost unintentionally becoming a victim of these movements because you're so worked up in your life and you're angry all the time or you're frightened even of what's going to happen to society. No, you live your life. You don't bring that into you or your family and you just show everyone by living your life how great it is and how wonderful it is. You know, one of the big things, you know, is quite often my wife will, you know, when she's out with her friends, she'll talk about me and how it happened just recently, you know, all she'll talk about the great things that I'm doing or that I've done for her or, you know, all the romantic things or all the things I've done to help our kids. And that just sort of bleeds out, you know, it's just a natural thing that comes out of people. So even when we're on our own, and not as a family unit, people can see that and people know that and we're vocal about it. And then form a brotherhood. I didn't realize how important brotherhood was. You know, I wasted my 20s not knowing the importance of brotherhood.
Yeah.
Because they will hold you accountable as well. You will bring each other up. It's that age-old quote, iron sharpens iron. And that is so true. Yeah. And they provide you with the drive and accountability that your wife can't because she's not a man.
Yes, and nor should she.
No, exactly. She won't because she's incapable. You know?
Right.
She will, for instance, you know, if I'm getting up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym, you know, and I disturb my wife, she'll be like, oh, well, come back to bed, you know, just come back to sleep, you know, come back and get, you know, have a cuddle.
Yeah.
She doesn't mean that, really. Because
she doesn't mean it maliciously.
Going back.
She probably means it.
No.
But she doesn't mean it maliciously.
But in her subconscious, she what she really wants is for me to go to the gym and work on myself and be a leader and build, you know, build my physique and build my strength.
Yeah.
Because that's what she really wants, you know. So she can't be there. She's too biased to be there and provide you and to to drive you like another man would, like Brotherhood would.
You're right. That makes total sense. You can't do life alone. There's no way to do this. There's no way to grow without first, like you said, taking care of yourself, then letting that bleed over into your family, and then how you push that in society. And you do all that through with a brotherhood. So you have guys you talk to about, hey man, I feel this way. Guys that can call you on your, now bro, you wrong. Go apologize. Like, you wrong for that.
Yes.
Go ahead and apologize. Yeah. You wrong for that. Or you right. Don't apologize when you haven't done nothing wrong. Then you need boys and men to say that too. Then when you
exactly. You need people to call you out.
Yes. And then when you go and take care of your family, you need other dudes around so your son can see other sons and other dads doing the same exact thing, right? So your son needs fellowship too. Your daughter needs fellowship too. And you need to be around like-minded, like-minded believers, people that think like you and not every exact thought, but have your same underlying principles and standards about how life should be lived, right? And you need those people around. And then when you go parade your family in society, you go with a crew. You go with a whole country of people. You go with a whole village that they have to. Man, this whole family is well-behaved. I ain't saw a fit yet. I had nothing happen. No one's throwing a fit. How are your kids so good? Well, we whoop them. We spank them. No, I'm saying. No, but now you have a testimony. You have a springboard to talk about. We just believe in strong families. We believe our family is important. Like, well, your kids are so smart. What school do they go to? Oh, they homeschooled. What? Yeah. I get that all the time. There's not a lot of darker brown individuals in a whole lot of homeschool groups in America. Like, this is very, very, it's all lighter skinned people. there's not a whole lot of darker skinned people. And that's not their fault. Yeah. It's just homeschool is a thing that's only for the rich or only for people who has a degree in teaching to, you know, do that stuff. But I like the points. I love the points you're trying to make. Where can men find you? Where can they find you, Alec? Like Twitter, your Twitter handle personally, and stuff like that.
My Twitter handle is at Fathers Reforged. My name on Twitter is Fatherhood Reforged, and that is basically where I am mostly. You know, I found that to be, just from personal experience, I found that to be the best place to A, spread my message, and B, connect with other like-minded people.
Yeah. So, men, connect with Alec. He needs followers. Go ahead and connect with him at Fathers Reforged, at Fathers Reforged on Twitter. Advice for you. You need to start a Gab account too, if you can. Do you get Gab in England? And UK?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, Gab is another. It's conservative guys on there and things like that. But it's one of those things that Amazon and Google and Apple took them off their app store, so they kind of had to make their own thing.
That sounds great already.
Yeah. So. So you gotta is gab.com. Go make a gab.com account and do that too. And you can, now your name is probably open. You probably have whatever you want too. Cause I'm on there, but it's slow moving. But okay. I do appreciate you coming on the show and talking. I would love to have you back sometime if that's not a problem.
Oh, of course. No, I really appreciate the offer, man. This has been fantastic. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this, and it's been great.
Oh, man. That's fantastic. So we got to keep it coming. Look, heroes, this is what you need to do. Alec gave you clear advice. Take that and run with it. This is how you redefine family leadership. This is how you lead in the family. Take care of yourself, then take care of your family. Let that bleed over in society, and do it with accountability from a brotherhood. And that's all I got to say about that, heroes. Until next time, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong out there. Whoop-pow! I wanna be-